All right, I'm going to recap where I've been and what I'm up to today. But first, here we go. My first look at the map. Gijan Station? Is that where I am? It's G-I-J-A-N-G. And the notable landmarks are the Gijan Market and the Gijan Middle School and Gijan City Hall. But a lot of people got off the train here, so I don't know. I can't tell how major this place is. Oh yeah, it looks a little major. So now I'm looking at the map that's here at the train station. Basically, two episodes ago, I made my way to Songjiang, and there was a beautiful beach there, and it was a really cool spot, but it was raining and getting dark, and I realized that the blue line had a stop there, so I hopped on the blue line and I got the fuck out of there. And then last episode, I went crazy. I went all the way to the end, all the way up to Ulsan. And that was a whole very good day. It was very fun, but that was like a whole other city. That's out of whack. So I thought today I'd go back to Songjiang where I stopped off at the beach. Oh yeah, I can see, you can see little beaches on this map. Little beach down at Songjiang. But I don't see any more little beaches beyond that. So basically, I thought instead of getting off at Songjiang, why not go a stop further? But then I thought, well, hey, why go one stop further? Let's go two stops further and just see where we end up and have an adventure to come back. And yeah, it looks like the next station, Osiria, is really close to Songjiang. That would have been nothing. However, Gijang, this is where the stops start getting very long. This actually looks like quite a long journey. But that's my plan. Yeah, so I'm looking at this map. What do we got here? So we got this city. Got coastline, but no beaches. I don't know if I can walk on the coast or not. Is that the best bet to try to get to the coast? There's a golf course in the way. So if I can avoid that, that's a good thing. Golf courses, man. Nothing but trouble. And then, of course, as you go to the center mass, it's mountains everywhere. So yeah, it looks like there is a little river that heads to the coast. So maybe I'll just try to get to the coast and see if I can walk along the coast. But I just don't know. I don't know if it's possible, really on foot, to make it back to Songjiang. But the beauty of exploring near a train line is you can just go back to the train line and bail out. So that might happen. And then ultimately, I'm hoping, it's like 4 o'clock, so I gotta... One reason why I'm extending this is I want to eat up a little time because I ultimately would like to get back to Muntan Trail, which is much farther south, but definitely walkable from Songjiang, so maybe walkable from here. I don't know, I'm looking at it on this map though, it's pretty fucking far. But it's this cool couple of kilometer trail long path that I found that goes along the edge of the coast. And it was really nice in the daytime, but it's all like set up with lights. It's distinctly made so you can walk it at night. But at this point, it doesn't get dark till about 8 p.m. or so. So it's kind of a good thing because I was actually trying to get going a little early today, but my sleep schedule is completely off the fucking rails. Hence why it's 4 o'clock. But I mean, that's kind of a good thing. I mean, it doesn't really matter. If I got there early, I could just go to a coffee shop and dick around. But theoretically, I feel like if I walk from here, if I do actually make it all the way to the Muntan Trail, it should be dark. But just looking at that map on the station, because again, I didn't do any research ahead of time. It's like, yeah, we'll just stop there and we'll just see. I don't know. I don't know if this is a thing that can be done. Or, I mean, it can be done, of course. But I don't know how easy it'll be on my first try. It's nice, too, when you walk out of a station and it's like, which way even is east and west? What's going on? Well, I guess I know from where the train direction came, but I can see mountains. So that's obviously inland. So I'm going to go the other way, toward the coast. Yeah, the feeling I get, because I passed Lotte Adventure World on the way here again. I think that Osiria station must be the one near that. The vibe I'm feeling is very similar to when I went north from Hajima Station in Japan. And I went past Moomin Village, that little amusement park. And I just walked up through a random-ass neighborhood. That's the vibe I'm getting, the feeling I'm getting. It's the same sort of approximate size. This might feel a little more developed, a little bigger. But yeah, just a random adventure to fucking kind of nowhere. Past an amusement park also, so I guess that doubles it up. Man, that reminded me too of that day. That was the day that I had to bail out because my hip was really sore and I couldn't really walk well. So let's just take a little moment. That was several months ago at this point. Let's take a little moment just to thank the gods of travel and the gods of aging that I've been hiking up and down mountains like a maniac since then, because that was my theory at the time, that it was mountain climbing that fucked up my leg. But I've done plenty of mountain climbing since then, and I have not had pains like that. Everything's been fine. So cheers to you, gods of travel and gods of aging. Not that old yet. Everything's all right. Hey, there's a Burger King. Man, yes, I watched Train to Busan just yesterday. Good movie. The flood of zombies is very cool, very appropriate to Asia. Just a flood of people. It reminds me of when I first got to Japan on this trip, and I happened to be trying to exit Shibuya Station just as Shibuya Crossing was funneling people down in front of me, and it was like fighting a flood of people. That's what the zombies are like in Train to Busan, just a flood of zombies. It's pretty cool. But early in that movie, the guy's eating Burger King, and it's obviously product placement, but it's appropriate because there's a Burger King. If I was hungrier, I mean, it's better not to eat too much anyway on these long rambling adventures, because who knows where the washrooms and stuff are. Better not to fill up, and especially not with Burger King. But yeah, there's a Burger King, a Starbucks, down in the street is a McDonald's. So this is definitely more developed than that Moomin Village area. Was that Saitama? Where even was that? It's all such a... When I think of north of Tokyo, I always just think Saitama, so I don't know. But anyway, that's today's adventure. Let me take a little break while I walk through this traffic zone, and we'll pop back in once I've either succeeded or failed to find a route to the coast. Whew, it is a fucking hot day today. Which I guess I shouldn't complain. Warm weather, clear skies, quite low pollution today. I found a convenience store, got a bottle of water, can hear it sloshing. I guess the only downside is, it's like, whew, the other day when I was walking around without my weather-resistant jacket, I regretted it that day because it started raining on me. Today that ain't gonna happen, but it, you know, it is gonna get cold once the sun goes down. There's no choice, I'm afraid. There is no option but to have layers. But it sure is rough when it's hot out. What I need is like little capsules, like in really early Dragon Ball. Back when Dragon Ball was fun. The very early Dragon Ball, it was like a gag manga and it was like fun to read. It wasn't just gritted teeth people fighting endlessly. And one of the things they had that I loved were these little capsules. And you could throw the capsule and it would turn into a tent. Or a cabin, or like a whole car. It's like, fuck, I could go for some of those capsules. I just need clothing capsules. If I just had a jacket that was in a capsule, I could take the capsule out of my pocket and just, boof, that'd be amazing. But I saw a sign with relevant local landmarks. And it did have an arrow pointing towards Songjeon Beach, which was one of my potential goals, and it was 14 and a half kilometers. It's like, whew, this blue line, since it is on the proper train line above ground, and it's not the same as the normal subways around here. 14 kilometers between stops, that's a good fucking chunk. That sounds like too much, you know? My sense of distances has gotten a lot better since I've gotten to Asia. Since I never had a license and I never drove, I was never quite sure what distances meant, and Canadians, you know, we have a weird mixture between imperial and metric. So I additionally had kilometers versus miles in my brain. Since I've gotten here, it's been steady on just the kilometers, and I've gotten a much better sense of how far things are. And I'm thinking of those early days in Japan when I was at Sengenjaya. And if I did a, I guess I was going to say, like, some of those trips were like 6 or 7 kilometers. That felt like a good amount to walk in the day. But I did do it as a round trip. So it was like 14, 15 kilometers. I guess that's not so crazy. That's kind of doable. But it felt like more than I wanted to do today. Especially given that the train system is so cheap in South Korea. I can get on that train and head back for $1.50. It's like, you know, I think I would resist going one stop. You know, if I was in like Toronto where it's $3 a ride, I'm gonna not do that unless it's like a significant ride. It just, you know, again, what's $3 in the grand scheme of things? You can't take it with you, but it would feel pretty weird to go one stop. Where not even $1.50, it's like $1.40. Given these weird circumstances, that seems fine. So that's my general plan now, is to mosey around this neighborhood but go back to that station and then just ride a stop or two. If not to Songjiang, then to the other station that's really close to it. But while I'm here, this is still not an especially close goal. Actually, it's pretty far, too. Just judging visually, if that's the distance south to that beach, this is still at least half that long. Anyway, there's a point here with the little picture icon out on the eastern edge of the map called the Juxeong Dream Filming Site, J-U-K-S-E-O-N-G. Juxeong Dream. Maybe it's a music video? Because there's like an airfield in Jecheon that kept coming up as the filming site for some K-pop video. So maybe this is similar. So I was like, all right, well, there's something. Maybe I could just go to that, see what that is. And then unlikely that I can walk down this jagged coastline. I might just have to come straight back. But let me try. And it was not going well, because on the map, there's one road that goes straight there. And I did see mentions of some hiking trails. But the road was not working at all. It's one of these, like, really, really narrow little agricultural roads. Quite busy, too. Quite a lot of traffic, because it does seem to be the only road. And if there was, like, a little space to the side to walk on, I could make that work. But there wasn't. It like immediately turns into a ditch. Very impossible to walk along the edge of. And I got a little tiny ways down it, but it's just like, this is just so super duper obviously not where to walk. And I've been in those kind of awkward bad situations before. But generally, like if that's something that happens at the end of the day, because I took a wrong turn somewhere or ended up in some weird place, and I'm just trying to escape, and I have no choice but to be in this bad situation, you know? If I someday get hit by a truck, I at least want it to be like, well, he did spend the entire day getting himself into that dumb situation before he died. I wouldn't want to start that way. Like, for this to be the start of the adventure, it's like, no fucking way, dude. No fucking way. This is like, I can't believe how little space there is to walk. You're just not supposed to walk here. So I just started rambling through the neighborhoods near there, just looking for ways into the mountain, which are never easy to find. I had that problem in Japan quite a bit, but especially in Korea. Like some of those mountains in Seoul, it took many, many tries, many different attempts to figure out how to get into the trail systems. Because unless you find the specific opening, the specific way in, I don't know if it is worse in South Korea. I mean, that's definitely a problem in Japan, too. You can't just approach a mountain, you know, obviously. Especially when they're this steep. You gotta have the proper way in. So I just ambled around and found a convenience store and bought a bottle of water. And it's just like, well, I just don't know if this is going to happen because I'm just in nowhere. There's no evidence of anything except just apartment buildings and stuff. So that's okay. Maybe this will just immediately fail. Whatever. That's happened to me many times where it's like I got to take multiple attempts before I figure something out. Would I ever attempt this again? It didn't seem likely. I probably wouldn't come back here for round two. So I was like, I hope I find something, but I don't know. We'll see. Whatever. I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to brute force my way up a mountain. I'm not going to walk down the busy street. If I can't find the proper way, then fuck it. But luckily, I found a park. A totally abandoned park with no one in it. But a very nice little park with a playground and shit. And a very distinct path up the mountain. I'm walking up like very distinct man-made steps. You know, they're just like wooden, not like the fully constructed wooden steps that they have in Korea sometimes. These are just like square bits of wood laid down and then earth packed in to make steps. But it said this mountain was 229 meters. No problem. Nice little mountain. And yeah, it does seem once I get to the peak of this mountain, I still will not be even remotely close to Juxeon Dream filming site. But at least I'm heading somewhere. At least it's working. And maybe none of this stuff's as far as I think it is. Maybe it's not that bad. But it looks pretty fucking far. All these distances as you move up the coast start to get a lot bigger. But this is very nice. And yeah, the plan didn't fail, so that's nice. Here's another sign. Let's see what this has to say. All right, so there's one direction, 0.3 kilometers to some apartments, and then a little sign that says the apartments are private property, so if you don't live there, probably don't do that. And that's cool, because I didn't want to go there anyway. 0.6 kilometers to Bongdaesan, B-O-N-G-D-A-E-S-A-N mountain. I can do 0.6, and no problem. And I just came from the culture center. Hello. And there's a guy hiking. So, yeah, worst case scenario, I'll just go to the peak of this mountain and come back from here. But once I get the lay of the land, I mean, while I'm here, I may as well try to push forward. I don't really need to do that other stuff, going to Songjiang Beach and Muntan. I mean, I've still got like a little over a week here in Busan. What's the big hurry? This adventure is staring me in the face. I think it's best to see it through. I think it's best to try to get to the Juxeon Dream filming site, because even if getting there and then coming back eats up the day, again, when else am I going to be here? And if it's a photo op on Google Maps, it's probably pretty good. And it's by the coast, which I love the coast. That being said, though, the photos here in Korea, for example, if you see that little photograph symbol on Google Maps, it's probably pretty sweet because there's all these mountains and stuff. Where it's a different situation in like Amsterdam, because it's like, I don't know if the Netherlands is the flattest place in the world, but it's certainly in the running. There are zero mountains. You know, it's below sea level, if I understand right. The lowlands, the Netherlands. So I always remember, like, I walked somewhere near one of the photo ops on Google Maps. There was the Fault in Our Stars bench. And I never saw the Fault in Our Stars, nor read it. So I was just like, what is that? They went to Amsterdam in that story. I think I looked it up briefly and I couldn't figure out what the relevance was or what that meant. But a random bench is probably, you know, less exciting than the Juxeon Dream filming site, whatever that may be. So on we go. Man, the only other thing that's kind of been on my mind, I mean, this has crossed my mind many times for many years, but it's just kind of interesting, I guess, to see that it is exactly identical behavior in every culture, in every single part of the world I've ever been to. is the people looking at their phone while they walk. It's so funny because it's so obvious, even if you're behind someone and you can't see that they're on their phone, it's mega obvious who's on their phone, because all of a sudden they're walking at a third of the normal speed and they're just ambling around, you know, they're drifting into other people's lanes where other people are trying to walk. And if they're coming towards you down the street, these people are just drifting, like drifting straight towards you. And it's like, I'm already all the way to the side, person. I can't go any farther. But then you can tell the moment when your foot enters their peripheral vision, because then they suddenly snap to and move out of the way. It's like, just stop. Will you just stop for a moment while you're on your phone? It's so fucking annoying when people try to walk while they're on their phone. You're just like it's like you're an ant and your antennas, like, I don't know, stopped working, and you're just ambling around at random. I don't know. It's like people think that they're good at it, I guess. They think they're the one. Oh, I'm the one who can walk while I look at my phone. No, you're not. No one can. Not from any culture, not from anywhere in the world. Canada, America, Netherlands, Japan, South Korea, I'm sure everywhere. If you're trying to walk while you're on your phone, you're so annoying. You're so annoying because you're just in everyone's way. You're like a big dumb lump. So, I mean, just go step to the side and be a big dumb lump that's not moving actively into other people's fucking, you know, attempts to walk. There's a useless advice that no one will listen to from a random fuck walking up a mountain. But who knows, maybe one person, if just one person ever listens to this podcast and realizes, like, oh, yeah, maybe I do that. Maybe it's fucking annoying as fuck. Then it'll all be worth it. Make sure you take that step to the side, though, before you stop and look at your phone. Don't just stop. I gotta admit, that's something I guess I was less aware of till I moved to a bigger city, is always look behind you before you stop dead in your tracks. Because somebody might be walking right behind you, which is a silly thing for them to be doing. But I think it was like New York the first time somebody just bumped right into me because I stopped. And it only has to happen once, and then you're like, ooh. It's such an embarrassing situation that from then on, it was always a quick little glance behind, then a step as far to the side and out of the flow of traffic as possible before stopping. Because what can I say? I guess I'm just the most considerate, best person in the world. It's not easy. The summit of Mount Bongdae. 0.43 kilometers to go. Or I could go to the side to the Daebyeon Pass Multi-Purpose Stadium. I'm at 216 meters. Yeah, this is it's a little bit of an odd area where it's like obviously pretty developed. I mean, if there's a stadium and shit. But yeah, that one road that heads out here, out to this particular peninsula. Man, what a tiny little road. But I guess now that I found the route over the mountain, that's fine with me. This actually is much better. Much rather do this than walk down the road, of course. So it all worked out in the end. Well, that's pretty fucking delightful. So I got to the top of that mountain and the view is really good and you can see all along the coast and stuff. And that was cool just because, you know, the mountain views are always cool, but it's extra neat when it's by a coastline. You can really see what's going on, the whole lay of the land. And yeah, I was saying that I'm like, I don't know how far this is. This might be a very far trek. So it's cool to be able to see all the way to the water. And it's like, oh, okay, no, there's the water. There's the, I don't know specifically which little, you know, finger leading out into the water I'm trying to get to. But it's got to be one of those, and they're not that far. They're right there. So that's no problem. That's all good. Then I saw a sign saying that this was the ancient spot for a smoke signal. And that's something I just had never even thought about, but it makes a lot of sense that that's how they communicated way back in the day, is that they had smoke signal stuff set up. So in the daytime, it would be smoke signals, and at night, fire signals. And then if it was too cloudy for any of that, then you would just have to take messages from one post to the other on foot. And they said there was, like, not that many super major signal stations around the country, only like 5 or 6. But then this specific area then breaks down into like 16 semi-major stations, and beyond that, like 90 little ones. So it's like, oh yeah, man, we sure do have it easy now. What the hell? Just magically transmitting information anywhere we want. Because yeah, like all these little tiny signal towers. Send to this one, send to that one, send to that one. Hope that there's no breaks in the chain. If something doesn't work, you gotta go high foot over there on foot. And it's just like, whew, man, the past. So that was cool, just to be, I was standing right there. I was like, wow, this is the spot where they used to build the fire. Like, that's pretty fucking cool. And it makes sense that this is a good spot. Extremely clear view from up on top of the mountain. So this was already a double win. Then to become a triple win, a guy came up behind me, a hiker, who was a guy who, it was kind of interesting because he said he used to live in Vancouver and New York, but he hasn't spoken English in a long time. And it was very much that. Like, his accent was strong. So his English, like, it was kind of maybe like on the border of, it could have almost been tough to follow, but it just wasn't. I could just follow him. Like, you could really tell somewhere deep in the past, he did spend all of his time speaking English, and he just lived in a, you could just tell the way he spoke was confident in a way that even if it's been a long fucking time, he used to speak a fuck ton of English. And he told me that it was like 1983. He was studying to be like a chemical engineer. He was asking me what I do, and I was like, it's so, I just never know what to say, especially these people with really difficult, tough, actual useful careers where I'm just like, oh, and well, nothing right now. I got some inheritance money. I'm just traveling. And he's like, yeah, well, but what if, but when you go back? And I'm like, I don't know, write a book. Let's talk about you, please. So yeah, I don't know if he's been back to North America since then. Like, it literally could have been in the 80s that he was immersed in English culture. But yeah, I don't know. I complimented him and I meant it. I'm just like, yeah, this is like, because he was worried. He's like, man, haven't used my English in a long time. It's probably pretty rusty. I was like, yeah, no, this is fine. Like, we talked for a while, like 10 minutes. And I was like, yeah, no problem. I followed everything he was saying. You're good. You're still A-okay. He, of course, asked what the heck I was doing here. So I told him, like, yeah, yesterday I went to Ulsan. You know, see what happens if I go to the end of the line. Today I just stopped halfway through. This is all fine. And, you know, he's just asking me if I like Korean food. I told him about the kimchi at my place. Or that I was staying at this little cheap share house rather than a hotel. Because he was asking, how can I afford this? And I was like, yeah, it's really not that bad. Like, the flight is bad. Now that I'm here, got this little share house, everything's fine. He's like, oh, I see. So you're not doing, like, hotel stuff. I was like, heck no. I don't need that. But he's like, hey, do you like Korean food? Like, go to the market. The market near here is so cheap. You can get tons of stuff. Which, you know, I didn't get into the details of, like, oh yeah, I do have a mini fridge. I never plugged it in. You know, that is one step beyond what I'm doing. But yeah, we just had a nice chat and I had to ask him, like, so I was born in 79. You were in Canada in 83. How does that make any sense? Because I feel like you look like you're about 50. We look not that different in age. And he's like, oh, I'm 70. And I was just like looking right at the guy. Sometimes you see people, especially now that I've been riding the subways more, you know, you can see people that are very much trying to maintain their youth, you know, like you can tell that they're dyeing their hair jet black. And it's like, you're not fooling anybody, old man. I can tell how old you are. Not this guy. This guy wasn't doing anything like that. He just legitimately, you know, it's not like he looks like he's 30. He did look like he's about 50. He does not look 70. I'm like, you know, everything about it is, he wouldn't, like, there was no sense that he wasn't telling me the truth. Of course he was telling me the truth, you know, he's just telling me this little story of his life. But I'm looking right at the guy and I'm like, how are you 70? how the fuck are you 70? Like, what the hell, man? But anyway, delightful. An amazing view. I learned a little bit about smoke signals. And yeah, just talked to a guy. And yeah, I don't know. He seemed very happy to just run into somebody to speak English to and just to make sure he still got it. And he does. But I guess, again, it's not like I'm in the middle of nowhere. I was saying last episode that I kind of, sometimes I exaggerate. I feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere, but I'm not. And this is another example. I mean, I'm just on the train line connected to the fucking Busan subway system, you know? It's like, but that being said, I did just stop at a random spot halfway through that I think the average person wouldn't stop at. And then I just started walking to a random place. I mean, insofar as being connected to a big city, I mean, I guess I am kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like, who else would he run into, even if he does this hike on the regular? I doubt he's running into a bunch of people, and I didn't ask specifically when the last time was he got to speak English to somebody, but he made it pretty clear it has been a long time. So yeah, it was nice, and glad I got to have a little chit-chat with him. Delightful. And we brought up, you know, just a little, because I don't want to, like, offend the locals. But I was like, hey, and it's very nice and clear today. Look at the sky and stuff. And yeah, he's the one who brought it up. Like, oh yeah, this week, pretty good. Last week, and he just let it hang in the air. And I was like, yeah, last week was a little scary. The yellow dust. But anyway, yeah, a triple win. Had a nice little chit-chat with a local. Got to be a little bit... what's the word? I got to reinforce the idea that when you're 70 years old, doesn't mean you can't go hiking anymore. It should be fine. Just keep it up. Keep up your basic health, and 70 is no big problem. I mean, unless you drop fucking dead, like my poor dad did when he was 69. But assuming I'm still alive and kicking, he was actually one day before his birthday. How eerie is that? You know, we made a bit of a joke about it. Like, hey, you know, you can hang on. Because he had medically assisted suicide. He didn't die. It's like, hey, give it one more day. You could be 70. And he's like, yeah. I thought of that too. But I mean, fuck that. That's when you know somebody's ready to go. Can't wait one more day for your birthday. Oh, actually, can you imagine how awkward that would be? Then you got on the last day that you're alive, then you got like the nurses or whoever's coming to see you. I was actually the last person who saw him from the family. It's already sad enough. It would just be, oh, by the way, happy birthday. Oh, he probably made the right choice. Anyway, why am I talking about that? That's depressing. As long as I don't just pass away, I should be able to hike around at 70, because that guy is having no problems. And yeah, then I learned about smokestack stuff, and the view in this point doubled not only as an amazing view, but it's like a to chart a course, Breath of the Wild style. I could see where I'm going, and it's not that far. Though that being said, the sun is going down, so I bid him adieu. I took my leave. I'm like, yeah, you know, we got some time in the day, but, you know, it's like, I pointed out to where I was going, you know, and if he had been like, hey, I'm going there too, let's go, you know, I generally still prefer to go by myself. 10 minutes of yammering is plenty, but I would have been like, yeah, fine, I'm not gonna say no. But he was not going that way. He's going somewhere else. So I said, well, I gots to go, because I got to make sure I make it there and back before it gets pitch black. But, yeah, charming and delightful. What a nice day. I didn't ask him his name. I never really do, but I mean, I guess whatever. For a one-time meeting, I think that's fine. If I ever somehow bumped into him again, if I lived in the neighborhood. On time two, that's when you go, hey, what's your name, by the way? But that is probably the single serving meeting with that fellow. But yeah, how is that guy 70? Wowzers. So yeah, it wasn't not at all a hard journey out here. It really looked so much further on the map, which makes me think, how tough is it to get to San Juan Beach? 14 kilometers, that sounds bad. And the sun is going down. Surely I can't. I don't know though. So anyway, as I got down here, I was thinking like, you know, hey, there's the mountain I was just on, and I couldn't make out any details from down here. But it's like, you know, if that dude hung out up there for 20 more minutes, he could see me right now. I doubt he did, but if he did just hunker down up there, he'd see little me walking down the street. So what this place is, Juxiang Dream Filming Site, is it's like a little lighthouse, or it kind of looks like a chapel. I don't know, there's a real lighthouse out in the bay from here. Lots of rocky rocks out in the water. But yeah, basically they built this thing for a TV drama in 2009, which seems kind of excessive for a TV show, but when I was flipping through channels in my Jecheon Airbnb, it's very clear. I mean, I guess we all know this already from Korean movies and K-pop videos, but they don't fuck around. Korean TV is beautiful. It looks real good. So it's not so crazy they would build this whole thing just for one drama. But it's funny because even on the little placard thing, they've got all kinds of different sort of movie type stuff. What are those things called? The tetrapods? They're a lot more common in Japan. I don't see them that much here in South Korea. But they're these big concrete things. I'm looking at some right now that are like four prongs poking out. And I guess you put them on a shoreline to stop the shoreline from receding. There were so many of them in Japan that I did a little research and it was very inconclusive. Some people say they help. Some people say it's just a new way to litter the shore with this other shit that's never going to go away. Beats me, above my pay grade, but the little tetrapods down here have little drawings and symbols on them of different, I assume, Korean film projects. Ooh, hopefully, it's very windy, but hopefully this wind, I think it's okay in the recording, but anyway, this particular one, even on the little placard explaining, it said, yeah, this thing was built for this 2009 drama. So I was like, wow, maybe this was an extremely famous TV show. But then it said, though the drama itself has long been forgotten. They did not mince words. No one remembers this drama. No one cares about it at all. But they left this thing up and now it's a tourist attraction. And it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Why not, you know? Better than just building it for a one-off use and then tearing it down. Though there is nothing inside. You can't even go in, just empty, because it is just a shell building. But that's kind of cool. And again, just as an excuse to walk here, because this is just like a little seaside community, just tons of little restaurants and little stuff going on down here. It does seem like the kind of thing that I don't know how many people would come here. I don't know how many come here now, but at least there's some reason. That's why I'm here. So just as an excuse to hike up over the mountain and come down here and see the seaside, it's doing its fucking job. But then from here, it's like, I could go north or south. North seemed a lot more inviting, seemed like much more of a distinct path, but again, that would just lead me to that street that I bailed out of at the start of this journey. I don't want to go up and get stymied by that again. It would be better just to go back over the mountain. But then, if I am going to go back over the mountain, I mean, I kind of got to do it right now, because the sun is getting pretty low. Even if I immediately went straight back the way I came, by the time I got out the other side, it'd be pretty dark. So I'm not quite sure what to do. I guess I'm just gonna walk south down the shore and just see what happens. But on the map, doesn't look like there's much there. Doesn't look like there's many ways to connect back over to the main area where the train station is. There was a bus stop, and one of the rare times when I was like, that's not the worst idea. A bus would get me the heck out of here. But I have no idea when the next one comes, if the next one even is coming. So I guess I'm just gonna walk down the coastline and see what happens. I don't know. Maybe I'll just end up walking all the way to Songjeon. Could be worse. But the sun is on its way down, so, you know, could be better too. I smell a lot of if coming off this plan. But it is really nice down here, and this is totally... Like, I say there's a lot of restaurants and stuff, but it does not at all have a touristy feel. Like, these really just feel like restaurants locals would go to and stuff. Definitely a little higher concentration than normal, I guess, just because it's seaside. There's a little bit of a touristy flair, but it's pretty light. This totally just feels like little seaside neighborhood doing its thing. But yeah, it wasn't the easiest to get here, and it doesn't seem the easiest to get out either. On foot. I mean, if you were in a car, it would take you fucking 2 minutes to drive out of here. But I'm a foot man. Oh, okay, here's a map. My last chance to figure out what's going on. You are here, red dot. Oh, there we go. Okay. Here, let me pull up my phone, do some full translating. Let's figure this shit out. Because, yeah, just looking even down the shoreline, I just have a feeling the shoreline is going to become pretty impassable, if I had to guess. All right, evacuation route. Hopefully I won't need that. Emergency evacuation site. Also, hopefully I won't need that. Oh, the flood area. If it does flood. Yeah, I'm in the flood area. Delightful. Unfortunately, this is not a... Here's how to get out of here map. This is just an emergency map. Wait, though. Okay, so there's a mountain on this picture. Presumably that is the mountain I was on. Maybe this is easier to escape from than I thought. Maybe it just feels like I went a long way because I went up over a mountain. Yeah, I think I'm not going to go down the shoreline because that seems like it may just disappear. Yeah, if I just go down this little road ahead of me and hang a right, looks like I'll connect up to a highway with a walking path so distinct on it that I can see it from this satellite photo. And that seems to go around the other side of the mountain. Well, I've had worse plans in my life. I mean, hey, it's a satellite photo. How wrong could it go? Stay tuned, we'll find out. All right, so the mountain that I saw on the evacuation photo was another smaller mountain. It's not the one I was on. Which, yeah, now that I think about it, of course, I mean, it's not the biggest mountain in the world, but it's bigger than that. So everything was funneling me back toward that that terrible little street that I didn't want to try to walk down because it seems like a terrible plan. Especially now that it's getting dark, it's even worse. So I got back to the entrance of the mountain path that I came out of. And from here, there is a map. It's like there's this one, and then there is another one down sort of over to the side somewhere. It's probably not that far from here. I'm looking at where I suspect that it is. But it's just getting too dark. The sun is dropping too much. If I had more time in the day, I would go mosey over there and try to find it just for a slightly different path back, but it's only, you know, like 200 meters to the side. It's all essentially the same thing. It's just going to be hiking over this same mountain in a different place. And one thing I have come to realize is when you take these courses in the reverse order, if you do just go straight back, it feels pretty different. It doesn't feel like, oh, here I am just on the same path I was just on. It's all backwards. It's the mirror course. And I just don't know how else to get the fuck out of here. So, no more dicking around. This is a pretty minor little 200 some meters up to the top of this mountain, up and over. And I'm right there, so should be no problem to get through it before it gets dark. But I'm definitely at the point where experimentation time is over. Time to just pick the route that I know will work and get the fuck out of here. But I would call that a pretty cool day. I liked it. Definitely neat. Would I recommend it? No. I mean, it's just some weird little fake lighthouse from an old drama. It's a neat thing if you happen to be here already. But yeah, to come to this random station and go to this random landmark, definitely not. What the hell's the point of that? You know? Besides for the pure joy of just exploring somewhere for no reason. But yeah, I think it is safe to say that fella I ran into, this maybe does explain why he doesn't bump into a ton of English speakers. Because this is a weird place to go. But I had a fun day. You know what? I'm going to upgrade this area from I don't quite know why you'd come here to maybe you should come here, actually. So I got up to the top of the mountain and I went back to the peak where the smoke signals were done. And no one was up there anymore because it's getting late. But it was cool to look down and be like, ah, there's the real lighthouse and there's the little fake lighthouse. It's a little tough to see from up there, but it's like, there it is. There's where I just was. And then near the summit, there's a bunch of exercise stuff. And I ended up going down the mountain a different way. Not necessarily on purpose, but I noticed on the way up there was orange and blue signs. Like an orange route and a blue route. And I don't know, I guess I was on the blue route before. But I saw an arrow pointing to the orange route. And you know, it's got a big sign and there's ribbons. So I'm like, oh, I don't know, orange route, let's take that. But it turns out the orange route, it's way longer and it's taking me south, kind of down the coast, but on the mountain. And I think I'm coming out now because I can see a city down below me. And this has just been an excellent little hike. Like, again, I'm glad I'm coming out because what time is it? It's a little past 7 o'clock. It is getting pretty goddamn dark now. It's going to be pretty dark soon. But I still made it okay. So, I mean, earlier in the day, you would have absolutely no problems. It's still not like a big hike, but man, it was beautiful. It was way more rugged and nature-y than a lot of the hikes, you know, where I like that the hikes in South Korea are very curated, but it is kind of cool once in a while to go on like a more rough one. But that being said, it's still like a really easy hike. Nothing is steep and still like a wide enough kind of trail that you could almost drive a little Jeep up, at least partway up. It's pretty wide. You'd never lose it. And there's still ribbons everywhere, tons of ribbons. You're never going to get lost. Oh, there's some doggies. I'm walking past a little farmstead now. And yeah, it was just really gorgeous. It just kind of weaves its way down the mountain. And there was one point in particular where I was kind of going along the edge of a valley so I could see across from me another part of the mountain, and it's just covered in trees. It was just a really good little hike. And now I'm coming out at, I saw a sign that says I'm 0.8 kilometers from Byeonhaeng Port. So on the map, yeah, I'm almost at like reconnecting to a proper road. Daebyeon Ri. Daebyeon-ri. So the only trick here is, I mean, I'm actually not that far from the station I got off at originally. Which, of course, my Google map doesn't know the name of. It started with a G. So I could loop around and go back up there. But at this point, I'm not that far from Orangdae Park and Enanti Cove. And then from there, that's right above. Oh, wait, maybe not. I guess it's one beach still above. Maybe I will do that. I was going to say, like, I think I'm really maybe not as far as I thought I was from Songjeon, but I think I'd have to go, like, a park, then a beach, then another beach. Yeah, in fact, I think I might just have to loop back up to the station. I'm starting to get these wild plans of like, I could just walk down there. It seems like I'm not that far, but I'm a little further than I thought, and it's going to get dark soon. And yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's the easiest route in the world.
But this has been plenty of adventure. I'm kind of down by that golf course I saw earlier. Yeah, I guess I'm just going to loop back up. Because, yeah, I'm really not that far from the station. I'm tempted. I'm so tempted. But these things that are like, oh, just a little further on the map, just a little further, just a little further. I mean, that equals at least 2 hours of walking, and it's going to be mostly in the dark. Just not a good idea. Just not a good idea. But yeah, I'd say I changed my mind, actually. This specific mountain, this is kind of worth it. This is a nice little hike for just a nice little afternoon hike. It's a bit unique because it is just a lot more rugged than a lot of the mountains that you'll find here. But still, super well signposted and not at all a problem. Mount Bongde Hiking Trail. One last sign to see me out. And yeah, there is the city. There is the city before me. So I guess then it came back to me all of a sudden where I was like, oh, I guess that's it though. I guess that's today's adventure. And then I'm like, oh, but you know, it is almost dark. There's still the old Moontan Trail, which I'm building this thing up so much. And it's like, it's a little 2 kilometer trail. It's going to be over very quickly once I do it. It's just a little tricky to time things out to get there when the sun's down. Because even today, I don't actually know how to get quite there on this blue line. I always got there before on the green line, and it's still a bit of a little hike from there. I think what's probably the best plan is just to go to a coffee shop and hang out for the day and then just be in the neighborhood as it gets dark. Trying to tack the old Moontan Trail onto another adventure. It's a little much. It's kind of a lot of adventure for one day. But all right, presumably that's it for today. That's today's adventure. What a fine adventure. It all turned out well. Should you ever be here, that's my recommendation, is just dawdle about on that mountain. The mountain is cool. It seemed very small when I just went straight up to the top and straight down the other side, but there's a lot more going on up there than I thought. I keep just adding on more and more little bits to this fucking episode, but this kind of just keeps getting nicer. This neighborhood's actually really good. So as I got down from the mountain and I kind of had to go a bit of a ways through a farm, but again, the ribbons were still there everywhere to be like, yeah, I know you're just walking through a guy's farm, and maybe the farmer will will peer at you inquiringly as he does his work. But it's all right. This is how you're supposed to do it. This is the path. It's all good. And down at the bottom was this really cool little neighborhood where there's like a like a little inlet of the sea. I don't know, just like, for some reason it makes me think of Baltimore. I've only been to Baltimore one time, but I guess it sort of sticks with me. When you're down by the harbor, maybe that's the word I'm looking for. And there's just, yeah, like a bunch of shops all just around in like a horseshoe around where the water comes in. And it was getting more dark, so all the lights were turned on, and the lights just make everything look so cool. And it still has that, like, kind of ocean-y smell in the air, and it was just really nice. I'm like, this is just cool. I like this. And now I'm walking up the road back to the station, and this road is really nice. It's a pretty big street. It's like 4 lanes, and it's like split in the middle with trees in the middle, and then on each side are trees, and there's flowers everywhere. I bet this was real nice, a couple weeks back with the cherry blossoms and stuff. Yeah, I don't know, this whole neighborhood, it's just so much nicer than it seemed initially. Again, maybe it's the nighttime thing, maybe it's the magic of night, but this is so fucking nice. And now I'm just passing the Hongdae Golf and Resort. Though, at this time of night, and I mean, it just looks like a big mountain over there. What the heck kind of golf course is that? It must be a very weird fucking golf course. But yeah, just damn nice. Man, though, tying into the yammering I was doing about, like, oh, it's nice, though, you can just keep on hiking when you're 70, yada yada. Man, my knee is hurting today. And it could be the two hikes up that mountain. I mean, I'm sure that contributed. But I think, once again, I'm pretty sure the culprit is... I mean, take a drink if you've heard this one before. But I think I just came down too fast because it was getting dark. You know, I was concerned about being on the mountain in the nighttime, which is a good concern to have. This is really pretty. This is pretty as fuck out here right now. But on the mountain, it would be less so pretty and more fucking terrifying, you know, where you just can't help, even if you're just on a trail in the mountains and you got like a stupid little flashlight on your phone or whatever. It's pretty hard not to be just primally terrified in the woods at night. So it's not like it was wrong to hurry down, but I think that's why my knee is hurting now. And unfortunately, this road back to the station is slightly uphill, although I think I've just crested. Yeah, it feels a little better now that I'm not going uphill. I just gotta walk slow, and at this point in my ramshackle life, it'll be fine tomorrow. That'll be a scary time when I get old and the next day my knee still hurts. That'll suck. But not yet. This will be fine. There, definitely no moon tan hiking today. Gotta go fucking rest up. Oh, it's so hard to go downhill slow. It's so hard. And it's so sneaky because it never feels bad at the time. If anything, it feels good. It feels so easy. Ah, just heading down a mountain. Down, down, down. How easy. Meanwhile, I'm rattling my poor knee to death, asking it to absorb constant pounding. But yeah, I'm like halfway to the station. It's no problem. But yeah, I don't know. It just feels good. I just feel like I got to keep jumping in because, I don't know, I feel like it's pretty rare for me to give a non-recommendation, you know, of like, I wouldn't bother with this. And then it's like, as soon as I said that, then I found this really awesome path on the mountain, and then I found this really awesome little area down by the bay, and now even the walk back, even just the walk back to the station, I was like, this is actually really fucking nice. So I apologize to this whole neighborhood in and around Juxian Dream filming site. It's pretty cool. And oh yeah, as I look at the map, then it's like, oh yeah, Busan National Science Museum, and right under that is the Lotte World Adventure Park. But again, these things, they look close on a map, but they're not really that close, particularly at night. Okay, I'm gonna sign off for real this time. No more fading out and then fading back in. This is it. This episode is over. Thank you for joining me. What a charming little day. And I'll see you next time. Adios. I lied. I'm back one more time because I saw a sign, Jizang, G-I-S-A-N-G. Saw a sign for the Jizang Market. So I just thought I'd mention that's the name of the place I couldn't remember. And also, listen to these cicadas. They're so fucking loud. We'll fade out on them. And it just stopped. Like, was that just one? Was that literally one cicada? Like, it just stopped on a dime. Crazy, man. They're so fucking loud. Okay, see you later. Did I say Jisang? I'm at the station. It's Jijang. Or Gijang. I don't know how to fuck it. Just G-I-J-A-N-G. G-I-J-A-N-G. Jijang. Okay.